Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals. Going to be joined at 7:30 by Titans left guard Roger Saffold. Looking forward to that conversation coming up at 7:30 as the Titans prepare for Joe Burrow and company and the Cincinnati Bengals to roll into town in the divisional round of the playoffs coming up later this weekend on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about Vrabel this year, obviously, and as the year went on and the Titans closed in on the one seed, lots of conversation about Mike Vrabel potentially winning the Coach of the Year award in the NFL. I think he should. I think that's something that would be well-deserved. That happens for Vrabel as he moves forward here. My question to you is that when you look at the full picture of Vrabel, knowing obviously that the story of this season and postseason is still yet to be written for him and for this team, you know, you're talking about a trip to the AFC title game. You won the division last year for the first time since 2008. Now you've clinched a number one seed in the regular season with an opportunity to do something special right in front of you here in the postseason if you're Vrabel and the Titans. Has Mike Vrabel, in your mind, creeped into, quote, elite coach territory? What do you think an elite coach in the NFL looks like? And has Vrabel gotten there yet? Is he close? Where do you think Vrabel stands right now in terms of the pantheon of NFL head coaches?
Well, elite's a pretty strong word. Can you be an elite coach without having a Super Bowl win to your name?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Mike McCarthy has a Super Bowl, and, you know.
Well, that's flipping it around. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, so yeah, and I would agree, you know, you could probably have one and not be an elite coach, but can you be one without one?
That's a good question.
I don't know that you can. So, I mean, you know, there's so many ways you could divvy up these, you know, like these tiers. But I would still, you know, I'd still top tier would say, obviously, you know, Vrabel's coach, Belichick. And I think Mike Tomlin is, I mean, you know, he has what, just one, right? One Super Bowl?
Yep.
Yeah, because Cowher was still there for the Roethlisberger's first one. But I mean, see, there's an example of now it's been a while. So you could look at that and say, well, gosh, it's been a while. That's an elite coach. I still say absolutely Tomlin's an elite coach.
The fact that they got that team to playoffs this year may just cement his status as elite, as an elite coach.
Exactly. I mean, and they've done it before, 2 years ago, too. Like, no business doing what they did without Roethlisberger. So he's there to me. Belichick's there to me. Andy Reid certainly is there. As an elite coach. And that was, look, Andy Reid. See, Andy Reid's the guy who was the, oh, yeah, great regular season coach. Love his offense. He's always an innovator and everything. Everybody likes him, but boy, does he screw it up in the playoffs. Well, he finally blew that up. And then who else is elite? I mean, Bruce Arians just won a Super Bowl. Do we think he's elite now?
No.
Pete Carroll. Is Pete Carroll elite? He's had great teams. They haven't been great lately. What's Pete Carroll? Some people would say he is. I honestly think Sean Payton probably belongs in the top tier.
Yeah.
I know if you just ask Sean Payton, he'll tell you he belongs in the top tier. He's in his own tier. But I think he belongs there.
Ask Kevin James, too. Looking forward to that movie coming out.
It should be a real doozy. And what about Boy Wonder? You know, I mean, this is a playoff that can bring that all back for sure. You know, Sean McVay, McVay and Shanahan. I mean, those, you know, they're very good. So I think I'd probably put Vrabel on their tier and it would be like the second tier, like McVay, Shanahan, Vrabel,
LaFleur.
Arians, you know, maybe right in there too. Yep. Maybe Carroll. I, that could be a huge tier, I guess. Well, look, you know, one guy that I've overlooked that I think should be top tier, but it's I think John Harbaugh's got to be top tier. I think John Harbaugh's got to be top
tier. He's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a Super Bowl champion there too, and I agree. Like, can you really be an elite coach without a Super Bowl? Probably not. Now, again, that's still on the table for this Titans team, so that conversation with Vrabel can change pretty quickly. But I agree. Like, you look at the playoffs right now, you've got McVay, you've got LaFleur, you've got Arians, who obviously won the Super Bowl last year, Andy Reid. You know, I think there's a lot of really good coaches that are left. Like, I think Mike Vrabel's right there with those guys. I think he's a really good coach. Now, you know, obviously he's not accomplished anywhere near as much as Andy Reid has, so it's a different conversation there. But, you know, you're talking about maybe the NFL coach of the year. He's done things with this franchise that we've not seen in a couple of decades at this point. I mean, he's on a track right now, I think, to getting there pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, he hasn't done nearly as much. And then, of course, it's, you know, it's his fourth year. It's his fourth year as a head coach. It's been awfully good. Yeah, you know, I think with Vrabel, obviously he's got this team right here. You know, winning one is that's just a total that changes everything.
Yep.
But there's also something to be said for knocking on the door year after year, winning your division multiple years in a row. You know, if you're doing things that haven't been done in your franchise, that's got to say something too, because look, some of these guys, like Tomlin, for as good as Tomlin is, and he is outstanding, and he's top tier, he also works for, I think, one of the exemplary organizations in sports. And I think you have to acknowledge that too. You know, I think that's part of, I mean, it's incredible. Now, the Steelers have had three coaches, you know, going back like for the last 50 years, which is just ridiculous. Yeah. So that's part of it too. But I also, though, think that Vrabel is coaching a team in a franchise right now that has everything in order top down from owner down. So maybe they're entering it. You know, one thing with Vrabel is, as time goes on, is he when the Titans inevitably cycle down, you know, is he the coach that can still get them to like 9-8 and get into the playoffs like Tomlin has done here with the Steelers? You know, that's something we don't know. But I will say this. I don't think anyone should wonder, like, if Vrabel or Frank Reich, you know, like, who's a better coach at this point?
Yeah,
I think that debate right now is a hard one to have.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in says, I don't think he's an elite coach, but you can definitely be one without a Super Bowl. Andy Reid was an elite coach before he won with Kansas City, in my opinion. This is coming from Tyler from Berry Hill on the text line.
You may be right, but Tyler, a lot of people would have disagreed with you. A lot of people would have disagreed with you on that. And saying, like, what kind of what I just said earlier, like, what matters? What really matters? Regular season success? Great. You got great, productive, innovative offenses. Awesome. Do you win in the playoffs? I mean, that's ultimately what it's about. So, I think now you look back on it and it's like, yeah, he was a lead all along. We knew this, but I think a lot of people would have disagreed with that before he actually won it. And he was a heavily knocked and criticized coach. And in some cases, you know, to his own doing, he had some clock management stuff and some big losses.
Yep.
It's not like it's just that they lost. I mean, some of it was clearly coaching related. But then he wins it, and it's like you win one, and then everything before it kind of looks a little different even.
Well, think back to what the conversation was like on Andy Reid when the Titans went in there and took down Alex Smith and company in that playoff game. It's totally different.
No question. Right. I mean, that the aftermath of that game was, you know, once again, you know, playoff Andy or whatever they called him, and then on the other side, wow, so Mike Mularkey's not going to get fired today, I guess? All right, congrats. That time period was like, that's why I love sometimes like team accounts, you know. And by the way, the Titans do a great job. I mean, they've stepped that game up in the last years too. But like after that game, it was like all this, that's our coach. Yeah. Get your hands off our coach. And then like 2 weeks later, like, oh, here comes our new coach, Mike Vrabel.
Here's Mike Vrabel, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike Vrabel, let's go.
Chris on the text line says, Vrabel has elite press conference skills. Elite press conference skills is coming from Chris on the text line. Looking forward to that Super Bowl media day.
Yes, if by that you mean playing great defense and just throwing people off left and right, left and right, left and right. No answers to anything. You are correct. He had a very nice game
and Glennon coming at him. Paul giving stiff arm to Paul Kaharski.
Yeah.
A little extra. You know, a little extra shove for Paul in there. But look. I'd be in favor of no more press conferences with Vrabel, but we get like the transcript of like him at practice.
Yeah.
Which you'd have to bleep the heck out of that thing, but that alone would just be remarkably entertaining.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and on Facebook as well. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to Titans and Bengals, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Going to be joined by Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold coming up at 7:30. So here in about 15 minutes, we'll have that conversation with Roger Saffold. Looking forward to that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jason from Hendersonville, who wants to weigh in. Jason, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. You know, talking about a good coach status to an elite coach status, I believe the formula is always having that perfect quarterback that works hand-in-hand, that can control the team and read the field. I mean, we see perfect examples of that with Bill Belichick not having Brady right now. So he looked elite for all those years, and I'm not saying he's not elite, but he's looking like he might just be in a first-year real good coach without that quarterback that he can rest upon. And I've been a long-time Steeler fan. I support my Titans now, but I'm 50, so I was here long before the Titans were. Bill Cowher put that team together. I was there when they drafted Big Ben in 2004. And he won that first Super Bowl with Big Ben. And then when he handed the reins over, that second Super Bowl was won with that particular team. And, you know, he hasn't really done much up there since. He's good. I'm not saying he should be fired. But I'm just saying he hasn't done as much with them as Bill Cowher did and with the team that he handed off. So it has to be a perfect match between a coach adapting to the style and an elite quarterback and how he plays for him. And I believe those are the two main characters you need to have an elite status on anything as far as teams and or people. It just isn't one person or the other. I believe it has to be a combination of the two.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jason. We appreciate it. I mean, to that point, I mean, we just had somebody on the text line too talking about the Andy Reid discussion we were having in the last segment. They were like, yeah, Andy Reid was a great coach. And then some guy named Patrick Mahomes walked through the door, and all of a sudden he was able to break down the door. I mean, the quarterback obviously is a really important part of this discussion as well.
Yeah, you're not going to find too many quote-unquote elite coaches over the years who didn't have a great quarterback. I'm trying to think of, Sean Payton had Drew Brees. Tony Dungy had Peyton Manning. Pete Carroll has had Russell Wilson. You're just not going to be successful in this league without at least a good quarterback, right? I mean, you have to have a good quarterback for sure. There are different ways to do it. I mean, and look, especially if you are down on Tannehill, you could look at Vrabel and say, look what he's done, with Ryan Tannehill. Now, I think that Vrabel, let's look at Vrabel as a second-year head coach with the Titans, having had a pretty good debut season that didn't get to the playoffs, sitting there at 2-4 with an offense that was a watching paint dry level of offense. And what did people think about him as a head coach at that point? Very early, But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a bunch of roses and, you know, chocolates for him at that point. You make the switch to Tannehill, which he did, by the way. So he gets credit for the move there, but it's looked a lot better since then. I mean, he's had Derrick Henry the whole time. I think that goes along with, you know, what the caller said there too. I mean, I think it's, you're right. Bill Belichick is not such a great coach that he can overcome anything. You know, when he has the greatest quarterback of all time, he's the greatest coach of all time.
I got a texture that says Harbaugh had Dilfer and Flacco, not exactly elite. He did not have Trent Dilfer, just for clarification's sake. He was after the Trent Dilfer situation. That was Brian Billick. But to his point, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl with John Harbaugh. And John Harbaugh, look, it's kind of incredible they were as in the mix as they were this year, given the number of injuries they had to starters on their team. I think John Harbaugh is a really, really good coach.
He's top tier. And here's the thing, too, I think in this discussion, yeah, typically it's just success on the field and did you win the Lombardi ever and all that stuff. But, like, John Harbaugh also, to me, belongs in there because he fearlessly switched to Lamar Jackson and changed their whole offense when a whole bunch of coaches in this league would not have done that. And it has worked out. Obviously a lot of things didn't work out for them this year. Like you said, it was just, they just had a terrible luck this year. But until, you know, I guess you win it all with Lamar Jackson, I guess some people will still detract from that, but that to me, if you're an innovator as a coach, or if you make a bold move like that, that has to count a lot. And see, on the Tomlin discussion, I hear what you're saying. It's been a long time. Look, they had some missed opportunities. They had some teams certainly good enough to win it when they had, when Big Ben was still Big Ben and they had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and all that. I mean, they had as imposing an offensive group as there was in the league. And they just, they just couldn't come through in some huge moments in the postseason in there. So, yeah, you can knock him for that for sure. But I think when you overachieve consistently and have a certain standard, no matter what's going on with your roster, like he has, I think that has to count for a lot too.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our buddy Rainey texting in says, been listening to Cincinnati Sports Radio all morning. All their fans are saying this is the best possible matchup for the Bengals. They think it's going to be an easy win. I got to say, that doesn't surprise me because, I mean, look, the other options are the Bills and the Chiefs. And look, it's pretty obvious. Bills and the Chiefs have way more national respect than the Titans do. Just is what it is. Now, if the Titans come out and you know, just hammer the Bengals on Saturday, which I think there's a chance their offense could come out and be pretty darn good against this Bengals defense on Saturday. It'll shut up those Bengals fans very quickly. But I'm not surprised that Cincinnati fans are talking themselves into this is the best matchup for them remaining in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, they did just beat the Chiefs, but I would not blame anyone for being more afraid of the Chiefs right now or the Bills. The Bills, who just scored a touchdown on every drive against Belichick, then the Titans, even with Derrick Henry coming back. Look, this Titans offense, we just haven't seen a whole bunch of this Titans offense be what it was supposed to be. So I think it can be that, and I think it might be that Saturday, but I don't blame them for thinking that. The other game is the de facto AFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's what we've heard.
Yeah.
That's what we've heard all week long. Continue to hear it. They're talking about it again yesterday on ESPN. Chris on the text line says, I hope Vrabel shows the team the film of the Ravens dancing on our logo at the end of the game last year and remind them to not let that happen again. I'm still mad about that. This coming from Chris on the text line. Yeah. Let's get back into that logo conversation. I'm here for it.
I would actually advise to not bring the Ravens into this in any way.
Yeah, well. That's probably good.
I would say forget that they exist and focus on the Bengals. But yeah, the Ravens, they got their revenge for sure last year after that game. Did the victor go the spoils?
That's right. Very quickly back to the text line. Jim from Springfield texting in says Joe Gibbs and Bill Parcells come to mind as elite coaches who had good but not great quarterbacks and one with different quarterbacks as well. This is coming from Jim from Springfield.
Great call. Joe Gibbs is an all-time great coach, without question. Joe Theismann was Joe, it's interesting because Joe Theismann, there's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. very good quarterback. Phil Sims, when he was going, when things were going well, very good quarterback. I would say those guys are a little bit more comparable to a Tannehill. I would say better, both. Better performance, but like, you know, not like all-time great. No one's going to confuse either of those guys with any of these absolute top of the list all-time greats. And that's a great point. Both were great coaches. And look, they had – so what did Parcells have? Well, he also had maybe the greatest football player ever.
Yeah.
Number 56, which, by the way, Bill Belichick benefited greatly from having maybe the greatest football player ever in his move up the coaching ranks because he was the D coordinator. And Joe Gibbs had the Hogs. They had great teams. They had great teams all the way out. They had one of the greatest corners ever. You know, Dexter Manley rushing the passer, incredible offensive line, John Riggins. I mean, you can do this, you know, you can do this without the top first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold, looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Saturday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold. Looking forward to that conversation as the Titans prepare to take on the Cincinnati Bengals coming up on Saturday. And Joe, to that point, it's been nice to see the offensive line for the Titans get a little healthier coming down the stretch. It seems like both in the running game, but I think more specifically in the passing game as well, they're settling in a little bit better down the last part of the season than they were maybe when things weren't going well from a health standpoint. You had different guys kind of rotating in and out. The San Francisco game, you had, you know, Dylan Raditz come in there and step in there at left tackle. All sorts of movement on the offensive line this year. But it feels like the last couple of games of the season, they've settled in quite nicely here and have been healthy and together on the field, which that could be a pretty big deal heading into this matchup coming up on Saturday against Cincinnati.
Yeah, one, obviously the two straight games together. And, you know, the only reason they didn't finish the Miami game is just because they were blowing them out and Raiders got some reps late. But two straight games that they finished. But also, you know, even in weeks where they had this guy out or that guy out, like, sometimes guys who played the whole game were also hurt, including, you know, certainly Saffold, who we're going to have here shortly. Saffold and Ben Jones in particular, but also think about Lawan and various things that he had, especially early in the season as he's working through the knee and maybe you overcompensate and you hurt something else. And, you know, you're dealing with the mental aspect of it. I mean, the mental aspect of coming off a serious injury, I still think that's maybe as big a question as anything for number 22 on Saturday. Like, do you play? Do you have any sort of limitation in your mind while thinking about the foot? I mean, that's, we can all, you know, it's easy to say, you know, hey, I just moved past it. You rehabbed or whatever, but a lot easier or a lot more difficult to pull that off. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the offensive line, probably health and maybe just having those reps together has come on here.
Yep, I think it has too, and that could be a big factor heading into this game coming up on Saturday against the Bengals. And, you know, obviously the Bengals dealing with some injuries. They got some good news on the injury front yesterday with Hendrickson being back on the field. So a big development there yesterday for the Bengals, and we'll see if the Titans' offensive line and offense can respond to that coming up on Saturday against the Bengals. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold. Roger, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Doing great this morning. How you guys doing?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Roger, what's this week like? Obviously, I mean, you've worked so hard to get to this point now in the divisional round of the playoffs. As a guy that's been around the league for a while now and has played in some big games, what's this week like for you personally heading into this matchup against the Bengals?
You know, it's the postseason. You know, postseason is kind of like a whole new year for us. And, you know, when we go against these big games, you know, you want to play your best football. It's a little bit faster. It's a little bit more physical. You know, the stakes are higher. So everything is more important. So you're more focused in means. You're more deliberate in practice. And you're basically doing whatever you can on and off the field to get you ready for this game.
Well, to that point, Roger, how are you feeling? How's Ben feeling? How's everybody feeling? How much has this time helped just in that way, just to get rest, to feel physically healthy? I mean, I looked at the injury report yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. Three guys. I mean, it's been like 35 guys, I feel like, most weeks. Like, where are you physically?
It's still the season, so, of course, it's still tough, especially when you're an older veteran. But, you definitely feel a lot better after that bye week. Another opportunity to get guys healthy. And, you know, everybody wants to play in this game. So, guys are working as hard as they can to get ready to play, and everybody wants to play. So, excited to have a fully healthy team going into this game on Saturday.
Well, Roger, to that point, what kind of a boost has it been for you guys to see Derrick Henry back out there on the practice field?
Oh, man, it's just great to have another leader back out on the field. We love the way that he's able to draw so much attention to, different defenses, and it's going to open up a lot of things for us. And just for the opportunity to have him back on the field, man, we couldn't have felt worse for somebody that had to deal with that kind of injury. We saw the way that he was attacking his rehab, and, he deserves his opportunity to come back and play.
I mean, does he look any different than, like, vintage top of his game Derrick Henry? He looks like the same scary guy to me with pads on, blasting through those those blocking pads yesterday, Roger. Does he look like just peak Derrick Henry right now, I mean, to you?
Honestly, to me, I mean, he looks great. We won't really be able to tell until we see him in the game, and we want to know how he feels. So the fact that we go in knowing that we have some confidence in another running back as well, and get a chance to get Derrick on that field and create some opportunities for him to really just get back out there and kind of warm up and see what it's going to be like. I'm excited for him. I mean, he's shown that he still has the speed, and he's shown that he still plays with that kind of tenacity. His vision looks good. I mean, he's just doing well in practice, and, of course, I expect him to do well in a game.
Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Roger, obviously, I mean, and you mentioned it, it's been, a crazy year from an injury standpoint. So many guys, missing on the offensive line at times. Do you feel like as the season went on, especially the last couple of weeks, you guys were kind of settling into a groove on the offensive line a little bit more?
I would say so. The thing about the Titans is sometimes we usually play our best football in November and December, and when you're riddled with injuries, finding ways to win games is huge. Being able to put ourselves in this position, regardless of how many injuries that we've gone through and all the adversity that we've had, this really puts us in a position that when we get everybody healthy, for everybody to be truly excited and to want to go that extra mile just to, play well.
Roger, as you look at the Bengals defensively, they do have good numbers this year against the rush. They're also a little banged up. I mean, Ogunjobi is a big loss, but, of course, DJ Reader is a tough guy to move right in the middle of that defensive front. How would you assess them? How different are they from the defense that you saw a year ago in Cincinnati, and what will be the keys to attacking that defense?
Well, with Ogunjobi gone, they're going to be a little bit thicker up front. We're talking about Reader, number 68. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are like 350 pounds plus that are going to be on that line. They got great guys on the outside. Their outside linebackers are really good. Just as far as putting in that effort and being able to stop the run and create some opportunities in the pass. For us, it's basically going to be, using that to our advantage, being able to, move these guys, displace them just enough so that we can create running lanes. And then, of course, getting to the second level so we can get Derrick to his fourth or fifth step and get him downhill. And we can also use Foreman and use his abilities. It's some great opportunities for us with also some challenges, but you look forward to those challenges when it's the playoffs.
Roger, what can you say about the way that your quarterback has played this year? Obviously, lots of injuries on offense. He's been in there the whole time and has battled through and carried you to this point with a 12-5 record, the number one seed in the AFC. Just your confidence level, the confidence level of this offense and Ryan Tannehill heading into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. We have a ton of confidence in Ryan. Ryan is, you know, really the symbol of being a Titan. I mean, he's so tough. He works through everything. It's always next guy up, doesn't complain. And, you know, that's some great qualities to have in your leader at quarterback.
Another leader getting, you know, obviously getting a lot, I think, well-deserved attention around the league, Roger, is, of course, Mike Vrabel. You know, he might win Coach of the Year this year. It's been much discussed. I'm sure you know the number, 91 guys rostered for this team. excuse me, an NFL record. What if you had to put in a few words what the secret sauce is for Mike Vrabel, the key to his success as a coach, what would it be?
Man, his blue-collar mentality, man. His blue-collar mentality. He doesn't care about, you know, your draft status, how much you get paid. You know, he just wants people to play well and people that are going to work hard and people that are going to love their team and their teammates. And, you know, that's really pushed us through. You know, a lot of people say next man up, but, you know, he's taken it to heart, and he's made people believe to the point where we have people come in a week before we have a game, and then they have to play, and they play well. I mean, that's just the symbolism of our coach.
Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Roger, obviously this game already is sold out coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. What have you made of the environment this year from Titans fans at Nissan Stadium, and how much are you looking forward to this one coming up on Saturday and what that crowd could look like?
Oh, yeah, I'm extremely excited. You know, the turnout that we had in Houston was already amazing, so we couldn't wait to come back home and see what this playoff game was going to look like. Of course, you know, having home playoffs throughout makes us really excited. I think it makes us fans even more excited. So I expect great turnouts for the rest of the year.
Roger, you've made a Super Bowl run in L.A. You 2 years ago with this team, you guys got to the AFC Championship game. You're one of the most, you know, experienced guys on the roster in terms of deep runs in the postseason. What is, if there's one thing that you would say, this is what it takes to make a run, what would that be? And do you feel like this team has the ingredients?
Oh, absolutely. I have all the confidence in my team, and I do believe that we have the ingredients to make a run. For us, you know, it's going to be can we run the ball, and can we, you know, win the turnover margin? I mean, those are going to be huge. With Ryan being efficient, it's going to help us continue to move down the field. These hits are going to hurt a lot more because it's a little bit colder outside, and that's the way that you want it. So I think that we're excited for the opportunity and the mentality of the team, a healthy team, which, you know, the Titans 2 years ago, we had to win to get in, and then we had to win another two on the road, and then on the fourth game, we had to go to Kansas City. Being able to be at home, be healthy, this is a new opportunity for us that we didn't have a couple years ago. The last time I went to the Super Bowl was with the Rams, and that was when they were still giving the two seeds the bye week. So this is definitely an opportunity for us, and we can't let it slip.
Well, Roger, we're looking forward to this game coming up on Saturday. Good luck in the game against the Bengals, and appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
No problem at all. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Roger Saffold had to say there. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Jets tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Smokeville Smoke Shop. We throw out different scenarios both in sports and in life. And then, as always, welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, and encourage your participation on your responses to our scenarios that we throw out there. Joe Rexroad is in the questions chair today. Rexroad, without further ado, I turn things over to you.
Sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports today. Feeling a little wild.
Okay. Let's get grim right away.
Okay.
On the day of your funeral,
okay,
what is the song that you want to be played to best represent you and your life?
I'll go All the Small Things by Blink-182, just so you have to witness it while I'm there.
Yeah, if you think I'm going to be around for that.
Well, I guess you never know if you really want to get morbid on the show.
And, well, that's true. And we don't have our death dates available. So that's a good one. That'd be some good trolling.
Yeah, I'm going to go have a little fun with Blink-182 at the funeral. Michelle?
This is so important. I feel like a part of me is like the song where it's like, drop it like it's hot. You know what I mean?
Oh,
where it's like the casket. Right. But then another part of me is like glamorous. G-M-A-M.
Oh,
so I think I'm going to go with that one.
Going glamorous.
It's an old school one. I feel like there's another song I would
want. Is that Black Eyed Peas? Who is that?
Is it Fergie? Fergie? No. Yes?
I think it is Fergie.
I think it's Fergie.
I don't know.
But I feel like I have another song. So, Joe, you tell us yours. I've talked about this with my friends before. It's a good question.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going Wu-Tang Clan, Protect Your Neck.
There you go.
You know, and the uncut. I mean, I just imagine people at my funeral listen to Old Dirty Bastard. I'll be sticking pins in your head like a brute nurse. I mean, it just sounds amazing. I'm going to have a playlist. I will have a whole playlist. Wu-Tang, Nas, Tribe Called Quest, Beastie Boys, throw in some Hall & Oates, some AC/DC.
How long is this funeral going to be?
Well, honestly, I want it to be my playlist, actually. That's okay. Why I asked the question, because I want people – I always want to play DJ at parties. So if it's, like, the last party, like, I got to be able to play DJ.
All right. So, like
so at the party at Robbie's new house, you'll be playing DJ?
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, it's – believe me, and Katie and I get in this fight a fair amount. I will – I mean, like, the brewery that you guys have been to, I ask them all the time, and sometimes they let me play DJ there. So I'm just saying.
DJ Rex.
It's kind of like my thing. That's right. Okay, sports. This one's pretty simple. You have to bet everything you own, every cent, every last stitch of clothing, shelter, and food on one of the remaining 8 teams to win the Super Bowl. Who are you putting everything on?
Oh, man. That is so tough.
We know what Robbie wants to do.
I know what I want to do. I just don't know that I can do it. You know, if I had to pick one, I'll go Kansas City. If I had to nail it down to one, I will go Kansas City. It's really tough. Packers are in there. Tom Brady's in there. It feels like we just kind of discount Tom Brady this time of year sometimes. But I'll go Kansas City if I had to nail down one.
Okay. Michelle?
So, honestly, I know we cover them very closely every day, the Titans. We've seen, though, what historically the Chiefs have done. You know, everybody's talking about the Bills. But we've seen the Titans beat every one of these teams except for the Bucs and the Packers, right?
That is
they
correct.
Beat the Rams, Bills, Chiefs.
Well, and the Bengals. We'll find out about that.
Oh, and we'll find. I'm going to go with Tennessee for this one.
So Michelle, going awesome. With the Titans. I like it.
No, I like it. I get your car if they lose. I'll wash it, though. I'm going to, you know what? Honestly, I'm going Packers. It's very close. I think you guys have hit on. I mean, look, I did think about Titans, Chiefs, Bucks, and Bills too. But I think the Packers, with their health situation improving the way it has, I think you know after last year the way it went down, I think they are the team that's going to emerge here and take that step.
I love how I picked the Packers Titans Super Bowl back in the beginning of the season and did not pick either one of them right there.
Yes, but it's different if you got to put it all right. You got to put all the chips in. All right, you know I got to do a food one for non-sports. So you can choose one carby side to go with all of your meals for the rest of your life. Just one.
Yeah.
What is your choice?
You got one, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going loaded baked potato. Give me the spuds. Mm. Bring me all the spuds that you can bring, and I'll load that sucker up. You know the cheese, the bacon. The sour cream, You know, I've tried ranch on it before too. Wasn't my best decision, but it also wasn't terrible. So many things you can do with a loaded baked potato. I will go with a nice loaded spud for my side, Joe Rexrode.
Sounds pretty darn good.
Yeah, man.
Honestly, ranch tastes good on pretty much about anything, so I don't condone you for trying it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go pretty simple and just give me a baguette. Just give me bread for every single side ever. You know, you could dip it in soup. You could, like, I just love a baguette. Fun story. When I went to France, at the gas station, you could just buy full baguettes.
Really?
Yeah. So
we don't have those here in our gas stations.
And I don't think I would probably buy a baguette at our gas stations, but there, it was acceptable.
I like it. Joe Rexrode?
That's a good answer, too. Well, for me, like, I'm trying to put off the funeral a little bit, so I'm going to go because, like, you know, otherwise I'd probably just go fries. The loaded baked potato is a heck of a call, though. Yeah. But I'm going to go rice. I just think rice is versatile. It goes with anything. Probably just go, like, long grain wild rice. I could eat that just
basically
with anything. No?
That's so bland.
Oh, you can make some rice taste good.
Really?
Sometimes, I'll take some a big box of Uncle Ben sometime. And just like long grain wild rice and just eat that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that stuff. So I think it goes with everything. And again, you know, gotta start thinking long term a little bit.
Don't want to have to play that playlist too early.
Because the fries would be, you know. Exactly. You know, we want the Hall & Oates helpline, not the Hall & Oates death line. So, All right. Last one, sports. You're made Olympics prime minister for a day, and you can add any sport to either the winter or summer games. What is your choice?
Ooh, add any sport to either the winter or summer games. Oh, man. That is a great question. I don't know, Rex, I'll go first. I'm trying to think here.
Okay, well, first of all, if you guys don't know, breakdancing is debuting in Paris in 2024,
yes,
which
is
pretty freaking amazing. I mean, I will say also, like, I can't tell you how much more excited I would have been, like, if that was, like, L.A. in 1984, if they had breakdancing. But still, I mean, that's cool.
Joe, you'd be in it.
I'm going to Dodge. I might have been to the trials, but, you know, not quite in the Olympics. I can only get on my head for like a second and a half. Give me dodgeball.
Okay.
Dodgeball athletes training year round, like, just, you know, ramp up the level of athlete in the sport, hitting each other with that little red ball. I mean, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. I would be watching some Summer Olympics dodgeball or winter. It could go in either one.
Give me a little skateboarding action. A little Tony Hawk out there. Some skateboarding. It's not already Olympic sport, is it? I don't think it is.
I think it recently.
Oh, is it coming?
I think so. In fact, you know what? Was it in the last one?
I think
it's definitely
might have. Well,
let me see. Yeah, no, there was skateboarding.
Well,
you missed skateboarding,
totally,
man.
Yeah.
Keegan Palmer apparently was amazing.
Well,
in the skateboard,
I missed the whole thing. Go. Apparently, you know, we had the entire Olympics on here in the studio. Never saw any skateboarding. What's up with that, NBC?
A lot of water polo.
There's an excessive amount of water polo on the television. There's no question about that. Well, I'll come back to another one. Michelle, do you have one?
Yes, I do have one. I would choose competitive cheerleading. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the videos or anything about.
They
basically throw these girls up and they just do like a million flips. It's pretty incredible. They have their own world championship, but I think it'd be really cool to see it in the Olympics. It's pretty insane if you've never seen the routines. It's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds of them just doing flips and twists, and it's pretty incredible. So competitive cheerleading for me.
I'm going competitive eating. Give me competitive eating. Hot dogs, whatever you want.
Joey Chestnut.
When in doubt, just go food. Throw some competitive eating in the Olympics. I think America would be very good in that competition. Give me competitive eating.
Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi, take it to the Olympic stage.
That's right.
I like it.
Would we really want gold in this one?
Do not.
Yes. We've got a vote for paintball from Ryan on the text line. I wouldn't mind seeing a little competitive paintball out there in the Olympics. Give it to me. Feel like I'd be a better one in person.
Yeah, like paintball, that's probably a tough TV sport, right?
I would think so.
I mean, I don't hate the idea, But I'm also trying to think of things that you know, that are fun to watch on TV. You know, like dressage, for example.
Listen, my sister rides dressage. That's in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you rode on it.
We talked about this. I covered dressage in Rio and had no idea what I was doing, but I just saw horses actually dancing to music, and I thought I was tripping. So yeah, I mean, you know, pretty
amazing. Were you, Joe?
I mean, the water was interesting.
This has been The Choice Is Yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Joe Rexroad, excellent job. That was very enjoyable. Well done.
Well done on your part, too.
Thank you.
We've made the Olympics better at funerals.
We have. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jay Morrison from The Athletic, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get a little Cincinnati perspective heading in this matchup against the Titans coming up on Saturday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.